You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We have to follow the facts.
Credibility.
What we want is the facts.
And conversation.
What everyone should be talking about, what you're talking about.
Hear about it first.
Begin a brand new day.
Talk about it now. News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Good morning and welcome, my friends. It is 6:02 WSKY, Gainesville, Ocala. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And these temperatures obviously must have froze up the mouse. Yeah, this is all. We're having some difficulties due to a mouse. And with a sigh, I must say once again, if I've done so many times before, technology. Yes, all right. Here's the most important thing going on today that you need to know. It's going to be very hazardous to be on the roads. Can't say it loud enough, often enough. I know people need to get to work. Really, if you have to, you just have to use a great deal of caution. Here's what's happening. We had a pretty good deal of rainfall throughout the area overnight. Now, rain in a lot of areas may have let up, but the roads are still saturated and wet. And the temperatures in Gainesville, for instance, 33 degrees right now, predicted to go to 32 and then to 31. So we're looking at the next 4 hours to be sub-freezing in a lot of areas. So south of Gainesville, you probably have a lesser chance of icy roads, but still a chance, especially in outlying areas, low-lying areas. All right. And then north of Gainesville, you might have a greater chance of encountering ice on a roadway. That's not something that you want to have happen. So pay attention to the temperatures. If you can stay home, really, you want to avoid driving today until midday, okay? Give it till at least 10 a.m. Then you should be good in all parts of the listening area. Other things to keep in mind with that heavy rainfall, sometimes you can get trees to go down. So it's just best to avoid travel if you can. All right. Freezing temperatures and wet roads, not a good combination. And even if you have snow tires and stuff like that, if you get an icy layer on the top of the road, and I can tell you on the way in, that was 2 hours ago and it was 34 degrees and the rain was coming down at a pretty good rate. And, the roadways coming in from Keystone, that's all blacktop. And there's no way that you would see that some of that could turn to ice. You won't really have a warning. So this is your warning. Avoid travel if you can for the next 4 hours. And just do the best you can. And we'll be talking about this. By the way, just in case you haven't figured it out, just about all of your area schools, they're closed today. A lot of offices and stuff like that. Check with local businesses. Some are going to be opening maybe an hour or two later, things like that. So just keep that in mind. And snow in Florida. Did you see any of the video from, say, like Pensacola? Wow! I mean, it's a winter wonderland. And look, it's great for a picture. But if you have to drive in it, like I say, hazardous conditions. All right, and we'll keep you up to date with that. U.S. Department of Justice, the DOJ, reportedly has reassigned multiple senior officials across various divisions ahead of confirmation of our own Pam Bondi, Pammy Joe. And she is going to be the U.S. Attorney General. I don't see that anything is going to get in the way of that. And they're already shuffling at the DOJ. You see, the fact of the matter is, you talk about cleaning house, you talk about it being a swamp. It is not easy to get rid of government employees. They have a lot of union protections that are built in, and they've built those layers of protection up over the years. So it's easier said than done to clean house. But at the very least, if you can't get the house clean, move the furniture around. I know, it's sad. It's pathetic, really. So they're going to be moving some people around, some like preemptively, apparently. Fox News, the source for this, they're claiming that multiple career staffers in the criminal and national security divisions at the DOJ were removed from their current posts and reassigned. While it's difficult to fire a career person, yeah, just because, reassigning is possible, that appears what's taking place. Of those who were moved to other positions within the DOJ, Bruce Schwartz, head of the Office of Internal Affairs, which handles extradition matters, a person familiar with the matter itself, spoke on condition of anonymity, telling the Associated Press. The same person reportedly told the wire service that about 20 officials have been reassigned. All right. There's others that apparently are being moved. One is a pretty big position, George Toskas, veteran deputy assistant attorney general in the National Security Division, who not only helped oversee major terrorism and espionage investigations, but also was a key figure in politically motivated probes over the last 10 years. Toskas was involved in the investigation into Hillary Clinton's handling of classified information, as well as the investigation into Trump's possession of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. Now, that sounds like that was kind of the assignment from the FBI side of, you know, where we got all those, we got the text from that, the agent, I'm already starting to forget his name, Schlock. I'll call him Schlock. Strock. That was it. Sorry. It's still early. Agent Strock. So this looks like this was maybe the sort of the parallel legal person working on their side of the DOJ and then the FBI. So hopefully these will be good moves. Yes. In a perfect world, we'd say clearly your job has been overshadowed by your partisan hackery, and you got to go. That would be a perfect world. That's not reality, unfortunately, in a lot of cases. All right. What did you think about President Trump saying he's going to take back the Panama Canal? And the reason is, well, first of all, for strategic reasons, that never should have been done. That was done under the Carter administration. We're going to give this back to Panama. Why? We dug it. We built it. We lost lives. There was a lot of lives lost. I forget what the president said, how many. But it was thousands died. Malaria and all kinds of things. So, yeah, blood, sweat, tears, money, resources, gold, treasure, whatever you want to call it, a lot. I think it was the most expensive effort ever up to that point, single effort in construction. The Panama Canal, a huge endeavor back in the day. And I don't know what Jimmy Carter was thinking. Oh, I'm Santa Claus? Here you go. You can have the canal back. No. And so what's ended up happening is you've got China basically running it and playing games. Oh, U.S. warship bunch go through, huh? Okay, hold on there. Yeah. No, we have some other traffic coming through. Yes. And then they're raising the fees on a lot of the ships going through there. So I think it is the right call. Now, of course, you have to handle these issues very, very carefully. Not that Panama, per se, can really do anything about it, but other people might have an interest. China is going to be the most resistant, clearly, but apparently Russia might come into play. Russia's foreign ministry has called on President Trump to reaffirm the current international agreement surrounding the Panama Canal and to leave it in control of the nation of Panama. Yeah. yeah, it might be technically, it might be on paper that it's within their control, but clearly it's not anymore. So the director of Russia's forest ministry told a Russian news outlet TASS that he expects Trump will, quote, respect the current international legal regime of the canals laid out in two 1977 treaties between the U.S. and Panama. The agreement relinquished American control over the canal by the year 2000 and guaranteed its neutrality. But Trump has railed against this whole idea, and he said, look, Panama is basically letting China dominate the critical maritime trade route, leaving U.S. ships getting ripped off in the process. During his speech, President Trump doubled down on his grievances and declared the U.S. would be taking it back. We expect that during the expected discussions between the leadership of Panama and President Trump on issues of control over the canal, which certainly falls within the sphere of their bilateral relations. 40 countries apparently also joined a protocol agreement, of which Russia is one, to recognize the canal's neutrality and to keep it safe and open. But if you say, oh, you have to leave it in place, the status quo is fine. But it's not a status quo that had been agreed upon back in 1977. The status quo would be Panama clearly in control of the canal, not just on paper. You know, if it's being managed and basically run by the Chinese, that's going to be a problem. It already is a problem. Yeah, and I found the total, 38,000 lives were lost in building the Panama Canal. 38,000. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of sacrifice. And not to mention the money that was spent on that project. And President Trump spoke out. He says, we've been treated very badly from this foolish gift that never should have been made. And Panama's promise to us has been broken. The purpose of the deal and the spirit of the treaty has been totally violated. I agree with the president. And I'm not one to say, yeah, let's go around the world and start stirring up trouble. But nobody would have noticed any really problems, per se, with the Panama Canal if the Chinese hadn't come in and run it and started playing games and jacking up rates and doing things that weren't normally done when the Panamanians were mostly in charge. American ships are being severely overcharged, this is from President Trump again, and not treated fairly in any way, shape, or form. That includes the United States Navy. And above all, China is operating the Panama Canal. And we didn't give it to China. We gave it to Panama, and we're taking it back. The canal's administrator, Ricardo Vasquez, said this month that China is not in control of the canal and that all nations are treated equally under a neutrality treaty. Well, then did the president just make this up? Is he trying to start, with greater irritation with China? I don't think so. I don't think so. And, you know, if it had been run by the Panamanians, then I don't think this would come up as an issue. But clearly, China is running the Panama Canal. All right. And so, but you, of course, you're going to get blowback because Panama probably entered into some sort of an agreement. I don't know about the legalese or all of that, but basically, I'm sure they get their palms greased heavily by China. And China said, yeah, we're going to kind of step, we're going to lease it from you. We're just going to, you know, like sublet this from you. And you know how the Chinese Communist government operates. They slide in there. They give you the sweetheart deal rolling in. And then you pay the price. The rest of the world pays the price. Anybody that competes with China in any way, shape, or form ends up paying the price. That's the game they've been playing. Here they are now. Oh, yeah, no, what? Canal? No, we don't know nothing about a canal. Really nice try. All right. So, as part of Doge, as part of, you know, what President Trump says he's going to do, he's going to try to really shrink government. It's not an easy task, clearly. But one area, I think, you know, they're just going to come in and knock it out. The Federal Office of Personnel Management, OPM, notified heads of agencies and departments that they must begin taking steps to close all diversity, equity, and inclusion offices by the end of the day Wednesday and place government workers in those offices on paid leave. So the workers are going to get paid, so you can't say, you're mean. These people are going to be thrown out in the streets. No. But he's going to close down these offices because there is no need for DEI. There's already all kinds of rules and regulation that are in place. And hiring practices and penalties if you don't go through the proper steps. And we're returning to what made America great, which is a meritocracy, where the best person for the job should get the job. Period. Acting director of the Office of Personnel Management, Charles Ezel, sent a memo to the heads of the acting heads of departments and agencies Tuesday, telling them no later than 5 p.m. today, they're to send an agency-wide notice to employees informing them of closure, asking employees if they know of any efforts to disguise these programs by using coded or imprecise language. Gee, I wonder what made them think of that. Because allegedly, that is happening on a lot of college campuses. They appease the more conservative folks by saying, hey, no, we're doing away with the DEA. DEI. We're doing away with it. And they do. They close down the office or whatever. But apparently, and it's according to some sources that, you know, that I know, and they said, oh, no, it's still going on every day. They just don't have an office, and they get around it in certain ways, but it's still being, the principles behind it are still being applied. So at least some of the Trump folks are on that and are asking about any efforts to disguise these programs. Also, send a notification to all employees of DEI offices that they are being placed on paid administrative leave effective immediately as the agency takes steps to close and end all DEIA for accessibility initiatives, offices, and programs. Take down all outward-facing media, websites, social media accounts, etc. Withdraw any final or pending documents, directives, orders, materials, and equity plans issued by the agency in response to the now-repealed Executive Order 14035. And cancel any DEI-related trainings and terminate any DEI-related contractors. You know, this is political, this is politics, but it seems like the left really has it down to kind of a science, if you will. You know, you've got these DEI programs. I don't know how that ever initially really gained any traction, shall we say, because as soon as it was explained to me, I immediately said, oh, you mean the opposite of what Martin Luther King stood for? Is that what you mean? Because that's what it is. Yeah, we are going to judge people. We are going to give jobs based on the color of your skin, your ethnicity. Yeah, literally. You fill this slot because, you know, you're underrepresented in this area. Really? You probably could get a few more white guys to play in the NFL because they're kind of underrepresented. Oh, no, you don't. Do you know why it is the way it is in professional sports? It is the exact and total idea and example of a meritocracy, right? the best person for the job. Hey, you know, we need a scrappy white kid to play point guard over here because, you know, we got four black guys on the court. You know, we got to put what? No, that's not how they do it. They go, hey, we need a point guard and we need a good one and we need one now. And they scour and they see who's willing to trade, who's available, what's coming up. And they go for the best one available. That's a meritocracy. The best person for the job. So what has happened here with the left? They're so sneaky. You know why they think they're so smart? Because in a lot of ways they really are. I mean, think about it. They got most of the world to buy into the idea of climate change. Not just climate change, because the climate on the planet, I guess if you go back far enough, has changed many times and has been very, very cold and very, very hot. So the idea and concept of climate change isn't ridiculous. It's the supposed man-made climate change that man thinks they can reverse, which, okay, if you believe all of that stuff, then, okay, I'll ride along for a minute, all until you tell me that Russia and China and India are not on board. They're laughing. Okay, go ahead whenever you're ready. 6:23 on the Bob Rose Show. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers. Have I wished you a happy hump day, Trump day yet? Well, there you have it. Number one issue this morning, very, very hazardous conditions. Driving, do not take to the roadways if you absolutely do not have to be on the roadways. All right? More on that coming up on 97.3 The Sky.
Dana Lash.
Look, I'm not a blind tribalist. I am a practical Machiavellian.
Now, 10 p.m. nights.
That's how I would describe my politics. A practical Machiavellian who wants to be left TF alone.
On 97.3, The Sky.
Good morning. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day, my friends. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 6:30, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Bob Rose Show podcast available wherever you normally get your podcasts. You'll never have to miss a minute of the show. You can use the Audacy app, AUDACY, or however you normally get your podcast. Click on subscribe. No charge. You got it. You'll have access to all the good stuff. Snowing in Florida. Yeah, it's exciting. It also can be quite frightening and hazardous. Pensacola, they got hit. I mean, there is snow on the ground. Now, in the listening area here, we're in pretty good shape. Here's where we're at. With a lot of rainfall overnight, and so you've got wet roads. If you get freezing temperatures for long enough, you're going to get surface ice on the road. That is something you absolutely want to avoid. And you don't know exactly where it's going to hit. Temperatures hover around 33 in a lot of areas. It's a little warmer south of Gainesville. Marion County probably have a lot less to worry about. But once you get into Alachua County and north, that's where these temperatures are supposed to continue to drop at least a few more degrees. And that will put us at freezing temperatures for a couple of hours, maybe several hours. So you need to be aware of that. Hazardous driving conditions right now. Avoid driving if you can. Most of your area schools and offices related to the schools are all closed today. Everybody should be business as usual tomorrow. But they're asking us to kind of play it by ear. Things could change. Wow. Yeah, that's a big story. Snow in Florida? You bet. What about these late night hosts? I don't get a chance to watch very often at all. I really don't, obviously with my hours. But apparently, just like you would suspect, they're losing their ever-loving minds. This guy they joked about as Hitler and all these other crazy, zany things that they've said. I mean, it's happening. It's for real. And they've pinched themselves over and over again. And Trump keeps popping up as the new president of the United States. And here's how it was described on Breitbart. Frantic, wide-eyed stares into the camera. Agitated hand gestures. And the occasional, what the blank? Filled the network TV airwaves on Monday as Trump's return to the Oval Office left these liberal late-night hosts, Jon Stewart, Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, and Seth Meyers. They were reeling. They didn't know what to do, looking physically disturbed by the prospect of what the next 4 years of Trump could mean, thanks to Kamala Harris's $1.6 billion failure to beat him. The not-so-racially diverse club of carnival barkers, otherwise known as these late-night hosts, did their level best to find the funny in what Stewart described as Biden handing the keys over. I'm sorry, what did you call him? Hitler? Yeah. In the order of freak-out magnitude, here's... Here's an idea. For Jon Stewart, Trump's inauguration was a blanking, nerve-wracking day, occurring at a tumultuous time in American history, filled with much uncertainty and trepidation. In his 20-minute monologue, the Comedy Central part-timer turned Trump's pronunciation of decline into 60 seconds of jokes about private parts, basically. Yep. It is 6:34. Good morning and welcome. It's a happy hump day, Trump day, weather being the top issue. Icy roads, possible hazardous conditions. I can't stress it enough, but we still have plenty more to talk about on 97.3 The Sky.
Is Sky News.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Trending stories.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And why they matter.
From this moment on, America's decline is over.
Updates every 30 minutes. Breaking news at once.
I was saved by God to make America great again.
News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
Another day in paradise. We shall breathe. Breathe, okay. Breathe, my friends. It I'm is 6:42, and it's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a happy hump day, Trump day, but we don't want it to be a bumpity bump day. And what I mean by that is extremely hazardous conditions on the roadways. The further north you are in the listing area, the greater chance that you could run into ice. Right now, mostly Gainesville and south, we're still in pretty good shape as far as that goes. Now, that doesn't always count. Those overpasses and bridges, you've seen the signs before. Oh, yeah. That's for real. They could freeze up before the other road surfaces are. Now, I've got a temperature reading of 33 degrees, and that's in Gainesville. And that could change, and it is projected to go lower. So everything that is wet now could turn to ice. That is not good. Hazardous driving conditions. Please avoid driving today if you can. All the schools in the listening area pretty much are closed. And so limit that travel till around, midday today, 10, 11 o'clock. Things should have settled down in most areas.
Yeah.
But always, err on the side of caution in these situations. Hazardous driving conditions taking place right now. So Trump, whether he's trying or not, is becoming the great uniter. Now, okay, sometimes you got to start at the top. He's got all the billionaires hanging out together. They were yucking it up.
Yes, he does.
And they were all checking out Bezos, his girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like,
she was getting everyone's attention, apparently.
Well, she was wearing an outfit that would bring a certain amount of attention.
Yes.
Old Zuckerberg's like, dude, you're on Facebook. Like, you haven't seen enough?
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Anyway, he's bringing them all together. Even Ben and Jerry's. Ben and Jerry's, the co-founder. Yeah.
They're as lefty as you
can
get.
Ben Cohen. Well, that's what I thought. Ben and Jerry's co-founder, Ben Cohen, launches contest to support Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. Doge versus Blob?
Well, is this the case where, even if he's a lefty, he actually would like some government efficiency, and he's got to play with the team that's running the board right now?
Here's what he posted. Pentagon bureaucrats torch $2 billion of taxpayer money every minute. In honor of Doge, I'm launching Doge versus Blob, a meme contest highlighting the biggest government spender and waster. We're giving away 1,000 Dogecoin a day. If anyone can slash the Pentagon budget, et cetera, it would be Elon Musk. And went on from there.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
And that's kind of crazy. I would have never dreamed that.
And maybe it'll also really generate some sound ideas. You never know.
Wow.
Fact checking. This has to do with Elon Musk and a salute. Oh, my God. The lefties are so desperate.
Yeah, they're trying too
Details
hard.
On that coming up. It is 6:46, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
Mark Levin. Our philosophy is not a violent philosophy. We're not interested in overthrowing anything.
6 weeknights.
We want people to embrace, enforce, execute the Constitution of the United States. We're defending liberty.
On 97.3, The Sky.
Just snuggle up, get back to bed, put another log on the fire. You don't want to be driving today, especially early in the day, if you can help it. Good morning and welcome. It is 6:51. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Hey, coming up at 8:05. Congresswoman Kat Kamick will get, the scoop. Hey, what did you see? Because we know she participated in the whole inauguration ceremonies and all of that. So we'll get some insight from her. And for whatever reason, if you should miss it, just remember, you've got the Bob Rose Show podcast available where you normally get a podcast. Just click on subscribe and you won't miss a minute of the show. So looking forward to that. But right now, number one concern, weather. Especially Gainesville North. If you're south of Gainesville, you're probably more than likely kind of out of the woods in terms of temperatures going into freezing, especially long enough to actually produce icy conditions. So looking good, still always, trust but verify. But if you're Gainesville North, you really need to pay attention because the temperatures could drop. And depending on forecasting, Greg and I, we try to do a matrix of things we look at. So, like, his has 32 now. Mine has 33, the official one from our weather.
We're 33 again in Gainesville. Actually, 34 in Gainesville. 35 Ocala, 35 the Villages.
Again, depending exactly where the temperature is taken, it could vary. And if it only varies by a couple of degrees, it could make a difference. So what I'm trying to say is, don't be out on the roadways before 10 a.m. unless absolutely necessary. And there's some, but look, I was on the road at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
It was raining pretty good. And I knew if that turned to ice, water was on the road, that would be horrendously dangerous. So if we can keep the temperature up, we'll be okay. If it drops, really need to I need to put off whatever plans you have for driving today.
Yeah, I got to confess, though, I'm disappointed with the weather. I am.
Well, Greg recently purchased another vehicle. Shocker headline number one. Number two, he wanted to play in the snow with his Jeep.
I did. So I get up, and what's the first thing I do? I turn off the alarm. It's 3:08 this morning. I hit the weather app. Heavy snow falling. Supposed to be at my house. Oh, good. I'm like, I can put it in four-wheel drive. No, it's just raining. And 33 at the time. I'm like, well, that's nothing.
Pensacola got hammered from some of the video I saw there. It was crazy, crazy stuff.
Yep.
But for us locally, it is the possibility of icy roads that we want to avoid. And so far, we're pretty good. Now, you get further north, like I said, north of Gainesville, and then there's still a very good possibility we could get some frozen roads. So be careful. All right. Fact check. All to do about nothing, of course. This is corporate media accused tech tycoon, Elon Musk, of doing a Nazi salute.
This one is so stupid, Bob.
Oh.
So stupid.
I mean, they really...
They're trying.
They can't get off the Nazi, the Hitler thing, the fascist thing, whatever. It's like... Really, it is played out, man. Move along.
Yeah.
And, of course, they loved Elon Musk until he decided he was going to jump in with Trump and help Trump out. He's not helping Trump out, per se. He wants to help our nation out. But, yeah, the conduit in which to get that done is through Donald Trump. But, oh, no, you can't say the T word. Then everybody turns to absolute hate. So they're trying to say he gave... He put his hand on his heart and then opened his hand wide open. If you put it on your mouth, it would be like blowing a kiss.
Yeah.
This comes from your heart. Like, my heart goes out to you. In fact, I think he even mouthed it.
But his palm was down.
He said, my heart goes out to you.
But his palm was down, Bob. He didn't raise his palm enough for their satisfaction.
Oh.
Yeah.
But if he raised his palm too much, they'd say, oh, he's one of them holy rollers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you can't win with these nutbags.
The Detroit preacher got a hold of him or something.
So there was the, that's the claim that, oh, yeah, he's giving some kind of weird salute. The verdict, false. Musk first slapped his heart, extended his arm, and explained the gesture by saying, my heart goes out to you. Even the ADL conceded the moment was awkward but not malevolent. We know it wasn't malevolent. It just, wow. And we're going to have to deal with 4 years of this kind of these absurdities. We're going to have to deal. We're going to have to deal with that. All right. So... I guess just prepare for it. And you know what? We're going to really try to focus on the more positive aspects because there is plenty to be optimistic and positive about the dawning of this new golden age that we are all going to be participating in. I, for one, I love it. Yeah, bring on the golden age. Just make sure there's a couple of Social Security checks left when I retire. Okay?
Oh, there's that.
Kevin, not asking too much. Okay, I'll take as much as you give me. Good morning. Welcome. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day, dangerous weather conditions. Stay tuned to 97.3 The Sky.